Church, this morning, we're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 4. Would you stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's Word? But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked an opportunity to act. Not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content, whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with little, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my difficulty. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. As you think through all that we've read, and just to think back through the letter to Philippi and Paul's situation and circumstances, anybody remember where he was as we begin to discuss this? He's writing this from prison, and he's over and over again told us and spoke of joy and rejoicing and the way that the gospel is still going forth and all the great things. He told us to live as Christ and to die as gain. And we get to this section here as we're starting to close down this letter. And he's going to talk about contentment and talk about some of the things that he has learned along the way, because his ministry wasn't easy. At times, the scripture tells us that he says that he despaired of life itself. At times, there were great victories and joy. We sometimes forget, though, that Paul had very real physical needs. Food, clothing, travel expenses, just to name a few. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more detail about their provision, the Philippians' provision for Paul and their encouragement of him. And not just that, but their generosity towards Paul and towards other believers, because they weren't just concerned about Paul, but rather the expansion of God's kingdom, to be a blessing to God's people wherever they were. And so we're going to talk about that some next week. This week, I really want to focus on this wonderful grace that we have for Christians, the invaluable treasure of contentment. That sounds like a weird thing, doesn't it? What do you mean, this treasure that we have of contentment? What in the world are we talking about? Well, contentment can be difficult to define. It can be a little difficult, but mostly it is a feeling of satisfaction that one has in their circumstances. But I don't want you to confuse this morning contentment for complacency or laziness. Those are also not the same things. And so we're going to define that term more as we go along, but I want to jump right into our exegesis this morning, or jump right into the text. What in the world is it talking about? Let's see what it actually says. So in verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked an opportunity to act." Again, we'll come back to this next week, but remember, they had sent Epaphroditus to Paul. He brought along with him some things that he needed, as well as money he provided for him. Then he stayed to serve along with Paul. But you guys remember at this point, Epaphroditus has been sick. There's some other things have gone on. So Epaphroditus has been sent back to Philippi. But either way, this connection, this close relationship is still there. But then he says this, if you look down, if you continue on, look at verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." And so there he is, and in whatever circumstances he is going, wherever he finds himself, he has learned to be content. So the first thing I want to tell you this morning is that contentment is learned. We don't just get it automatically overnight, do we? Contentment is something that we learn with time, with experience, with walking with the Lord. And so in recent days, I want you to just to give you another analogy here or a comparison. Think about sanctification, right? We've talked about this a few times. That is the process by which we are being made holy. Now, we know when we think about sanctification that we are born again by the Spirit. Philippians already told us that the one who began the work in us is going to carry it on to completion. That is, as we go through this life, we desire to grow in mature in Christ, to grow in obedience, though imperfectively. And we train ourselves to fight against sin, to live obediently to the laws that God has given us. But on the other hand, we have to recognize that it is the Holy Spirit who is enabling us to do that. It's the Holy Spirit who is keeping us from falling from the faith, who is helping our faith be strong. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to fight sin to make sanctification possible. So on the one hand, we are doing all that we can and putting in all of our effort to live a holy life and to be sanctified. On the other hand, if you look behind the scenes, it is the Holy Spirit that is doing that in us, correct? And so if that's true, I think complacent or contentment comes in a very similar way. Contentment is something that we learn, but is also a blessing and a grace from God. Without the Holy Spirit, we would undoubtedly never find the satisfaction that Paul says that he has. How is he able to be content while he sits in prison? How is he able to find contentment as he has little more than the shirt on his back? How is he able to do it? Well, part of that is the empowering of the Holy Spirit, but also the experience that he has of walking with the Lord and trusting in him in the way that he has learned to think. Then he says, but it's not that though I really have need in the text. He said, I don't speak from need, for I've learned to be content. He's not saying that he was in poverty. If you ever think about it, if you can afford clothing, a place to sleep at night, to have enough to eat, aren't those the things that we truly need? But we live in a world where we expect much more on a daily basis. And that is to our detriment, where we're not content sometimes because we always want more. You guys read what we from Ecclesiastes this morning. We've read other passages. We'll come back to those again in a minute. But we sometimes miss out on contentment because we live in a world that says you measure your value and your worth by how much stuff that you have, how many trips you've gone on, how much money you've stored up for yourself. And so we begin to think in those sort of terms. Well, have you climbed the corporate ladder? Corporate ladder, I don't even know if it exists in most places anymore. Paul also said that he had learned to be content and lived during times of prosperity. So if you look at the text, he said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know how to get along with little, and I know how to live in prosperity. Guys, we know he went through a lot of different seasons in ministry. There were times where men like Epaphroditus had come and churches had loved on him and sent things to him. Other times where he got delayed, and we talk about Paul being a tent maker, right? Well, he went back to a trade and he began working. Why? Because otherwise, how's he going to eat through the winter? What else is he going to do during that season? He worked, and that the Lord used that so that during that season, as he was making tents and working, that he was able to minister and disciple Priscilla and Aquila. And God used him in that moment. But guys, do you think that he probably woke up and thought, yeah, I'm glad that I'm not preaching the gospel today and I'm back making tents? Well, maybe not. But we all go through different seasons where sometimes we have more, sometimes we have less. Sometimes, take the money thing aside, put that aside. There are times where you're healthy and you feel like you're on top of life, and times where you're sick or you're hurting and you're going, I don't know what in the world's going on. It's not always physical things that we're, or not just monetary things that we're thinking about sometimes. We think in terms of contentment. Not only, so Paul's saying, listen, I'm content when I don't have a lot. I'm content during times of prosperity. And not all of his life was bad or miserable. Sometimes I think we look at him and we go, man, that guy had to be just miserable all the time. I know when I got saved at 16, a little country church, right? And they had a pastor there at the time. He was retired military. And I would see him up there sometimes before I got saved. And I just thought, this has to be the worst job. I mean, he's up there. What is he doing? It's got to be boring. I remember thinking, I just sitting there thinking those things. I think sometimes the Lord is ironic, right? Because I think he laughs and says, oh, you're going to do that one day. That's going to be your job. And I just sometimes chuckle to see it. But at the same time, I just say that to say, guys, we have to remember there's good times. We go through good times and there's great times. Not all of Paul's life was bad or miserable. I imagine that he was often joyful. What has been the constant refrain in this letter to the Philippians? Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Come and celebrate what the Lord is doing in our church, in your church, in Philippi. Look what he's doing to me. I'm in prison, but the gospel is going forth. The guards are hearing the gospel. They have believed. The kingdom of God is expanding. All of these great things are happening. So don't look at your temporary circumstances and give up. Instead, rejoice in what he is doing. Paul had times of hunger. He had times of plenty. Some of us have never known real hunger. And I don't mean like you just chose not to eat for a day or two or something else, but where it came down to necessity of, I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal. And I'm not making myself out to be some kind of martyr up here, because I have seldom really gone hungry out of necessity myself. I can think of a handful of times in the mountains of Peru where we just ran out of food and didn't know where we were going to get our next meal. We're just trying to get the gospel to the next village, climb over that next glacier so we could get to the next place and hope that they had something to eat. But most of our time, guys, most of our time in this world, in this life, as Americans, we don't wonder where the next meal is coming from. Might not be what we want to eat. We wonder things like, well, I really want to eat out and I don't want to eat that sandwich. Right? Those are kind of the debates that we have. It's that's not what I want to eat, not I don't have anything to eat. What am I going to do? But my guess is Brother John back there probably sees a lot more of this as he's going through with the homeless ministry. And he's seeing those that are really struggling with hunger. Well, how can we find contentment? Well, I told you, it's not complacency, right? Our goal is not to put ourselves in positions where we are unnecessarily hungry and deprived of food. But at the same time, we all know that there are times where we go through that are just lean, times that are difficult. Before we can move on, I want to consider Paul's ministry just a little bit more. If you have your Bible and want to turn with me, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And I'm going to read this just to give you some context. When he says, I have learned to be content in every circumstance. I want you to listen to how he describes his ministry in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. In this passage, Paul is really teaching against false teachers who are boasting about themselves. Look at me, look at how great I speak. Right? They're really challenging the church at Corinth, and Paul is speaking against them, and he would rather boast in his weaknesses, but nevertheless, I want you to listen to this list he gives. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I am speaking as if insane. I am more so, in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beat with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have spent adrift at sea. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. Paul says he was often physically beaten. And you know the worst part about some of his beatings, it wasn't just the physical beating, it was the public humiliation and shame that you're being put through every time. And then he said he was stoned. You guys remember that happened at Lystra, right? In Timothy's birthplace, where he was stoned, dragged out of town, and left for dead. He said, I was shipwrecked 3 times. A reminder that these travels, we think of travel as something kind of glamorous. Oh, we get to go and do all these things. Back then it wasn't, right? Travel wasn't necessarily safe or glamorous or good. Can you imagine being shipwrecked and being adrift at sea, holding on to some piece of wood? Can you imagine? Especially at night, just thinking of all the things that might be swimming down there. I'm pretty certain I would not be content in my circumstances. Allie already would have dragged me to the bottom because she would be so terrified we'd just all be dead. I got stories I could tell you, but I won't. Ask me later. But you begin to think about how hard his life is, right? And he had all these hard times of hard labor, sleepless nights, sometimes physical threats, sometimes he said because of his concern for the church, right? As he saw this sin taking place and false teachers coming in, he was giving himself night and day to prayer and just the tiredness that comes with that. You guys know when you have these sleepless nights, what it does to you? Some of you have known it, right? You've lived through it. You get sleepless nights, your brain quits working the way it's supposed to. Your body begins to struggle. You get all kinds of stress hormones going through your body. You can gain weight just by looking at food. I've been there. And Paul says, hey, I've been there. Many of you have been there. I'll never forget when in that time in 2016, there was a big attempted coup attempt in the country we lived in. riot, all kind of people out in the street, airplanes flying over, tanks rolling around and things. And I gained like 15 pounds in like a month just by doing nothing. Like just stress. What do you do? How does Paul manage to make this work? Paul trusted God in a way that I think we struggle to imagine. Like, how in the world, Paul, did you trust God through all those things? But you know what I find in real life? The people who have gone through the most tragic circumstances, the people who have suffered and gone through affliction, are the ones that tend to trust God the most. They struggle with this passage way less than I do because they have lived through it. And they've gone through some of those hard things. Brothers and sisters, contentment is learned. We learn it through experience and walking with the Lord and trusting Him with it as we go. Now, in our confession time, we read several verses from Ecclesiastes and from 1 Timothy 6. We have a tendency to think first and foremost when we think about contentment on the gaining of material things. For some, it is the desire to be rich. For others, that it could be that we just simply want security for ourselves and for those we love. Is there anything wrong with me wanting to have enough resources that my children are secure? That's not a bad thing, is it? In fact, as a father, those are things that we seek to provide for our families. Not to knock down the mothers who are working. It's just that idea that we are trying to provide. And there's nothing wrong with trying to do that. Nothing wrong with doing better. Nothing wrong with saying, hey, I want to work so that I have food to eat. The Scripture tells us to do that. We're commanded. So that's not bad in and of itself. The desire isn't evil, but it can lead us to question God's provision for us. How do we respond when the stock market crashes? Some of you have lived through it. You ask somebody that's been in the stock market for a long, long time, and something, you have these daily crashes, the new person is panicking. What's the person that's been around for a while doing? They're trusting and saying, you know what, it'll go back up. Yeah, it's going to go back up, right? As long as it's not right before you're retiring, because that's when you get in real trouble. But you begin to walk through this, it's the same thing with life. When we go through things and we have those days where things go bad, those that have experienced, have been walking with the Lord, guess what they're doing? Lord, you got me through this before. I'm going to trust you. You can get me through it now. Those of us who are newer sometimes, we come along and what do? Our tendency is to panic. We need to be learning from our elders, learning from those who have walked through it before, from other mature Christians, and looking at the Scripture and saying, well, what does it say? Well, it says that we can trust Him and be content no matter what the circumstances are. I want you to consider where you are in life right now. Ask yourself this question. What would need to change in my life in order for me to be satisfied? What would need to change in my life in order for me to be satisfied? If you're satisfied with anything else, if your answer is anything else besides God, you're not truly satisfied. It's one thing to say, hey, I wish this new job works out. Josh is looking for a new job, right? Or applying for, and I shouldn't say that online, probably. We'll strike that from the record. But you think about things like, hey, we have things that we need and desire and want. But at the end of the day, those aren't the things that we really find joy from. Those aren't the things that satisfy us and meet the needs that we really have. So are you satisfied with God in whose hand you find yourself? Ecclesiastes 5:10 that we read says, one who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor one who loves abundance with his income. This too is futility. I wish we had time to read all of Ecclesiastes this morning, because the older I get, the more I appreciate that little book. It has a lot of, well, it's all truth. But it has deep lessons that begin to sort of speak to you, I think, the older you get. But young people, you need to be reading it now and learning it now. You don't have to wait till you're older to learn those lessons. But as you read it, if I could think through Ecclesiastes, if I could sum it up, well, it's fear and obey the Lord. Enjoy your life as it is from God. It is your reward. Enjoy prosperity, but don't forget the darker times. And he keeps pushing them back to the Lord over and over again and saying, hey, you're going to have some hard times. These things are going to come and go. You trust the Lord come what may. I told you at the beginning that contentment is a little bit hard to define. I'm going to give you a definition. I'm going to begin to kind of close this out a little bit. Jeremiah Burroughs said Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. In other words, we have this frame, we have this attitude within us which submits and delights to God's providence. To trust in where God has us in this moment. Where Paul could say, hey, I'm in prison right now. It's okay. I trust that God has a purpose and a plan in this. God has me. Where he could say, even if I die, it's gain. I go to be with Christ. But if I remain, it's going to mean fruitful labor for me. And then he begins to talk about that in other places as well. But that contentment is trust God. Right now I'm in a time of plenty. Lord, how can I use these things for you? Right? I trust, Lord, that there are times where God, you ever stop and you ever, envy, right? Comparison is the thief of joy is what we say. But envy, right? Where you look at somebody else and you go, look at what they have. And suddenly your contentment is gone because you're thinking, God, why would you let that person have those things, but not me? And you're not trusting then in that moment of God's providence and his provision for you and placing you where you needed to be. If I could summarize Jeremiah Burroughs' teaching, and I won't go into that in great detail this morning, but by the way, he was writing in the 1600s, and he wrote a great book called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. I encourage you to check that one out. It is an excellent book. But if I could summarize it, he would say that contentment is learning to be satisfied with God in whatever condition his providence places me. But the opposite is believing that something other than God must change before I can be happy. If we go through life expecting, well, I'm only going to be happy when. I'm only going to be happy if. Well, guess what? You're going to miss it. You're going to miss your whole life chasing after something that doesn't exist instead of being content where God has you today. Now, the last verse here that we really focused on this morning is the most famous verse, I feel like, at least in sports industry, in the sports world, and that's Philippians 4:13. How is it that Paul can go through all that suffering and be content? Well, he tells us in 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Christ is strengthening him. The Spirit is working in him, giving him that contentment and that peace. And he knows the Lord. And so this verse isn't about, hey, here's how I can score a touchdown. It's on those tough days when your life is in the pits that you can say, God, I know that your hand is upon me. I know that you love me. I know that you've caused me to be born again. I know that the Spirit is working in me, producing the fruit of the Spirit. I know, Lord, that I can do all things, not on my own power, but through Christ. And so if you're in one of those moments and you're struggling with contentment and joy, now's the time to go to him and say, Lord, I need you to strengthen me through the Spirit of the power of Christ Jesus. And those kind of prayers coming and understanding that it's Christ and the Spirit working in us, that's what enables all this to make sense. That's what it takes for us to lay down our dreams of riches and wealth and the pleasures of this world to live for a city that we haven't seen yet. You know what it says in Hebrews? I love that passage. It said they went out looking for a city that whose foundations were laid by God himself. And it was an earthly city. And they were always chasing after the heavenly kingdom. Well, guys, we live in the kingdom of heaven now. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven right now. And so we live towards as though that is our aim, that we are pilgrims passing through this world. It is temporary. And we begin to set our mind on those things. The Spirit of God works in us, and he strengthens us, and he helps us to understand the world rightly, and we find contentment. But guys, contentment, we can lose it so fast if we're not careful. Last week, what did we see? Hey, the things that are good, things that are true, the things that are lovely. Focus on those things. Dwell on the good things that God has given us and the truth we find in the Scripture, and it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And it's the same thing with contentment. All that, instead of being anxious in those moments, what are we to do? Pray. Then we get the peace that passes understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Him. And then we begin to control and meditate on the Word of God and think about the things that He says are right and good. And that strengthens us. And so then Paul, if we do those things, it kind of culminates in this. Well, now in Christ Jesus, no matter come what may, we can be content. We can be satisfied in Him. I know we're right at 12. I'm going to read Psalm. I got a psalm I want to read to you as we kind of close this out. It's one of my favorite psalms, has been for a long time. And I'm not going to talk about it a lot this morning. I just want you to hear it. This is Psalm 37. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. I'm going to pick it back up in verse 23 and read through 25. Psalm 37 says this: Do not get upset because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers. Why? Because they look prosperous. They get their way. They do evil, and you go, they break all the rules. Lord, how is it that they prosper? Verse 2 says, For they will wither quickly like the grass, and decay like the green plants. In other words, their end is quick. That this world is temporary. Their success is not immediate. Verse 3 says, Trust in the Lord and do good. So in spite of what you see, you trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Then verse 4 is my favorite. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Because the desire of your heart isn't for things or things that you can earn or money or any financial gain or whatever it may be. What is the desire of your heart? It is Him. If God is your desire, and that's what you treasure the most, guess what He gives you? Of Himself. What do we say this morning in Sunday school? We're going through the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father. We go to our Father who loves us and cares for us. And so He says, Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. He will bring out your righteousness as the light, as your judgment is the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not get upset because of the one who is successful in his way, because of the person who carries out wicked schemes. Then if you look down at verse 23, he says, The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls down, he will not be hurled down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hands. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging for bread. This is beautiful. He keeps telling you, delight yourself in the Lord. Live in the land. Cultivate faithfulness. Enjoy the life that God has given us. Trust Him. Don't worry about those and don't envy those who seem to have success but do not know the Lord. And I love there where he said, the steps of man are established by who? By the Lord. That He knows our frame. He knows where we are right now. He knows what you're going through and your struggles. It says, the Lord delights in your way. And so when you fall down, when you go through those troubles, it says you'll not be hurled down because the Lord holds your hand. Well, if the Lord's holding my hand and the Lord has my eternity secured in Christ and the Lord is working in me, I got to ask myself, why am I not content? Why am I not rejoicing? And to turn that around, for me to go to my soul and quit saying things like, Lord, oh soul, why are you in despair? And say, soul, why are you not rejoicing? Soul, let's rejoice today in the truth that God has given us. Let's rejoice in the Lord as Paul has been telling us over and over and over again in the text. He says, rejoice in the Lord. always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. He holds our hand. He guides us. And so this is a challenging passage. It is a joyous passage. And if you're struggling with contentment, I would love to just come sit with me in the office one day. We'll talk through the scriptures and the promises that he has. Because I'm just going to tell you, every one of us at times will struggle with this. Every one of us at times will need to be reminded of God's provision for us and his benevolent hand that is upon us and the way that he cares for us and loves us and to find contentment in those things. And there's times all it takes is an ad on TV and your contentment is broken. That's it. That's all it takes. But how can we do it? The Lord will strengthen us. So as we come to our time of invitation, we can sing one last hymn this morning. I want to be praying, God, strengthen us in Christ. Help us to live through whatever circumstances you put us in. Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning before you, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would strengthen us in Christ. I thank you for our union with him. Thank you that we get all the benefits of Jesus' death and all the benefits of the resurrection. Lord, I thank you that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that even before the foundation of the world, you chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless before you. That in love, Lord, you've adopted us as sons, brought us into your family. Lord, that in the fullness of time, you have made this plan clear. Lord, that we belong to you. And Lord, I prayed this at the beginning, and I will say it again now, that all of our hope in life and death is that we belong to you. Lord, that we are your people, saved by your grace. So, Father, if there's anyone struggling with contentment and happiness this morning, Lord, would you strengthen them with the Spirit? Would you help them see the truth that your hand is upon them? Lord, that they would not judge their own lives and be discontent because of the prospering of the wicked. But Lord, instead that they would see the truth that the wicked will be like the grass that grows up today but is gone tomorrow, like a vapor, Lord, that is gone as soon as the sun hits it. But Lord, we have eternity with you. And Lord, you have placed eternity in our hearts. And so, Father, this morning, I pray for joy and contentment. Lord, I know that we have some church members right now who are walking through difficult valleys. Lord, who are going through hard circumstances with their physical health. Others who are still mourning and grieving. And Father, I pray this morning that you would bring comfort to them, that you would strengthen them in these moments. Lord, I pray that even now they could say that the Lord's hand is upon me. And they would turn and bless your name and be content where they are. Father, we also pray for healing and comfort and peace. Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.